Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm Spencer Chase. Our guest this week is Jim Jones, the first Deputy Commissioner for Human Foods at the Food and Drug Administration. But first, here's this week's headlines. The Environmental Protection Agency will allow farmers to continue using chlorpyrifos on 11 crops. The decision comes in response to an appeals court ruling last month saying the agency did not account for the safety of applications on certain crops in a blanket removal of chlorpyrifos tolerances. The product can now be used once again on apples, alfalfa, citrus, soybeans, wheat, and other crops. American grain shipments to Mexico are caught up in rail closures at the southern border. Two crossings over the Rio Grande River are closed, and U.S. Customs and Border Protection says it's due to a surge in migrants needing to be processed, which is diverting agency personnel. A CBP spokesperson says there's no update on when the stations will reopen. According to the National Grain and Feed Association, nearly 1 million bushels of grain per day are affected, and the two crossings account for one-third of American grain shipments to Mexico. And finally, a salmonella concern is popping up in the food supply just as another was slowing down. Quaker issued a recall of granola bars and cereals recently that includes about 90 separate product codes for items sold in all 50 states. No illnesses have been reported stemming from the possible contamination. The news comes after 14 recalls related to salmonella in cantaloupe since mid-November. More than 300 people were sickened in 42 states in that outbreak, but no new recalls have been announced since December 6th. The Food and Drug Administration was already dealing with calls for a new food safety emphasis prior to the outbreaks. That new focus led to Jim Jones being the first person ever appointed the Deputy Commissioner for Human Foods at the FDA. He tells us the outbreaks underscore the need for strong food safety oversight.
Well, you know, food safety is critically important to everybody in the United States, and we need to have an effective food safety program in this country to protect Americans. And fundamentally, that is what Commissioner Califf did when he appointed, when he created a Deputy Commissioner for Human Foods, because we want to reduce the number of outbreaks that we see in this country, and that's ultimately what we're planning on trying to do.
Mm-hmm. So I guess speaking just quickly on these outbreaks before pivoting to some other questions, what is kind of FDA's guidance for consumers at this point that are looking to purchase cantaloupe, purchase granola bars? What are some things that you're encouraging consumers to do before they end up in shopping carts?
Yeah, understand if there's been a recall. I think we've publicized pretty widely that there has been a recall for cantaloupe as well as the Quaker Oats product. And make sure you understand what that recall covers, which producers, which labels are involved, and make sure you're avoiding those products. Now, hopefully those products are off the shelves right now, but if you had purchased them already, it's really important for you to understand if you purchased a product that's been recalled, to make sure that you do not eat that product, that you destroy that product. And if you've actually had, for example, cantaloupe in your home that's been recalled, you also want to make sure you appropriately clean around it, because the cantaloupe kind of sheds some of the salmonella if it's in, for example, sitting on your counter.
Very good. I want to spend the bulk of our conversation talking about the reorganization effort underway, but I guess one more question before we dive into that. On the issue of healthy, that's something that is on the agenda at the Food and Drug Administration, but healthy is a pretty broad concept. I mean, one of the healthiest things that a human being consume is a nice glass of water, but too much of that can be bad for you too. I mean, with so many different factors at play in the issue of what food, what drink is healthy, Why does the FDA want to kind of delve into this particular issue?
You know, we think it's really important to give consumers information that can help inform their choices. And so a lot of that is done through a range of labeling. The nutrition labeling that's on the label right now is important. But we've also think that the people can be making choices about where you want them to go in terms of the kinds of food they eat, and creating incentives for manufacturers to make foods that meet that criteria. And so we both are giving consumers information that can help them to make the choices for them and their families, but we're also giving incentives for manufacturers to formulate more products that are desired by consumers as it relates to health.
We'll have more from Deputy Commissioner Jim Jones right after this.
farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together, we celebrate together, but we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. FDA Deputy Commissioner for Human Foods Jim Jones says the FDA's ongoing reorganization process of its human foods program could be moving quickly in 2024.
Well, so the actual structure that we are proposing has been on our website for a little while now, so people can look to what the future is likely to look like as it relates to this organization going forward. The process now involves that it will be reviewed by HHS. It will then go to the Office of Management Budget, which will have a review, and after that, it goes to the Appropriations Committee, committees in the House and the Senate, for they also have a 30-day review. After those steps are taken, we then engage our unions under the collective bargaining agreement, and the unions will give us their feedback on it. And after that, we will be able to finalize this reorganization. Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a lot of steps there, but in the grand scheme of things, when do you think is a realistic timeline upon which this new structure could potentially be put in place?
I think it's realistic to say around June of 2024 that's a realistic time frame. Again, we don't control all of those steps, but we can facilitate them by making sure we're being responsive when they ask questions about it. And that's what we plan to do. Mm-hmm.
So a lot of folks, when they looked at the idea of food safety oversight, some of the previous criticisms had a lot to do with the culture at FDA as much as, you know, some of the personnel allocation and some of those issues. Is this reorganization going to be able to satisfactorily address some of the cultural issues that folks pointed to in FDA's food safety oversight?
Yeah, that's a good question. I was actually on the Reagan-Udall panel that made recommendations to the commissioner related to the organization. And there really was a structural flaw in the design. There were two in the organization, there were two individuals that had job titles that were very similar. Not just the titles were similar, but their job descriptions were very similar. And so there were competing decision-making. There was unclear decision-making authority. And so that actually permeated the entire organization as people were, it was unclear as to who made decisions, which that can create a culture of indecisiveness because you're not sure where decisions get made. You don't know how to work them up the system to ensure you're going to get a decision. By creating an individual, the Deputy Commissioner for Foods, it just happens to be me, who is the sort of final decider on issues, that will go a long way to helping an organization become more decisive. It's clear how to get decisions made. And I've said numerous times before, this doesn't mean I'm going to be making all the decisions, but it becomes clear who sets the framework by which decisions get made. And so that lack of clarity will go a long way, or that creation of clarity will go a long way to helping address some of the cultural issues that have been ascribed to the organization previously. Mm-hmm.
One of the big areas that, or one of the big reasons that some of the food safety conversations really grew was, of course, the infant formula outbreak that happened over the last few years. Can a reorganization and a restructuring like this, I mean, prevent is not the right word because, of course, only the FDA can only do so much in every single facility across the country. But can this reorganization do a better job of addressing and stemming the spread of future outbreaks?
Yes. Yeah, so one of the problems that occurred in the infant formula crisis was that because there were so many different ways in which a complaint could be brought into FDA, ultimately that, you know, without sort of a single point of entry, sometimes balls gets dropped because there's lack of clarity as to who's got the point. One of the things we've done in this reorganization is we've consolidated multiple points of entry to a complaint or a whistleblower complaint into one. And so it's clear who's got point when an outside party comes and says, hey, there's something wrong here. So I do think that how you structure yourself can reduce the likelihood that a ball gets dropped or somebody provides information to multiple different sources and no one's really quite sure who's in charge of doing something with this. Now, it's going to be one entity within the organization is where these complaints are going to come in. And it's clear that their job is to make sure that they get appropriately addressed.
Mm-hmm. I want to wrap up kind of talking a little bit more, less in the theoretical and more in the practical, because we talked a lot here in our conversation about organizational flowcharts and who is overseeing who and what. But in terms of the practical on-the-ground approach of food safety oversight, food safety inspection at many of the facilities and instances across the country that is currently under the FDA umbrella, how will this reorganization impact folks on the ground?
So ultimately, we're going to have better alignment between our program folks, the folks who set the policy, with the inspectors in the field. And that better alignment is going to help us to get to higher risk facilities more quickly. And then the response related to when we identify a problem in a facility or in a field will be faster. And so this better alignment between what the priority setting that occurs in headquarters by the program with the inspectors in the field, so that we're going to places where we're more likely to find a problem than not. And that's what you fundamentally want. When you have few resources, you want to make sure you're hitting high risk places. And you're not spending all of your time in places that are less likely to have a problem. Mm-hmm.
Deputy Commissioner Jones, thank you for joining us. We'll be right back to hear from this week's panel. But first, our Hannah Pegel walks us through some important dates in 2024 in this week's Map It Out.
Nationwide voting may not be until November 5th, but 2024 is filled with many critical election days along the way. Here's the schedule for the state primary elections starting in January. Some states have parties conduct primaries and caucuses on different days. Those states are marked with lines on the map. Usually Republicans and Democrats kick things off with the Iowa caucuses in January. But this year, only Republicans will caucus in January. After that, presidential candidates will head to New Hampshire, South Carolina, Nevada, and Michigan. Iowa's Democrats will release their caucus results on March 5th, which is also this cycle's Super Tuesday. 14 states will hold primaries on that day, which will go a long way in determining each party's presidential candidate. If that day doesn't finalize the process, 11 other states will also hold primaries in March, and voters in another 21 states will head to the ballot box before the end of June. In addition to the presidential election, all 435 House seats and 34 Senate seats are also up for grabs next year. For AgriPulse, I'm Hannah Pegel.
Did you know AgriPulse has all your favorite podcasts, including Open Mic, Newsmakers, and Drive Time? Take us wherever you go. Subscribe at agripulse.com or on Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts.
Agriculture Future of America is a nonprofit building transformational leaders in food and agriculture. AFA prepares college students to join the workforce as innovative and engaged young professionals who will shape the future of agriculture. Head to agfuture.org to find out how you can get involved.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next farm bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we are going to continue our discussion on the Food and Drug Administration's reorganization and what that might mean for ag and food policy. Joined for that conversation by Sarah Gallo with the Consumer Brands Association and Roberta Wagner with the International Dairy Foods Association. Appreciate both of you taking the time to join us. And Roberta, I want to go to you first, because we have seen recently FDA submitting its reorganization plans for Health and Human Services Department's consideration. I wonder, as you look through the plans that the FDA is laying out at this point, a lot of calls for reorganization leading into this, but is what FDA is looking at this point adequate in your mind?
We definitely do believe that the changes that they're proposing will be adequate, but honestly, time will only tell, right? Right now, their focus, the agency has been completely focused on structure, governance, and leadership. There's longstanding performance issues that need to be addressed, And quite frankly, there's some cultural, transformational culture change that also needs to be addressed by the agency. Some of those things are much harder than the, you know, putting the right leadership in place, the right structure in place, and a governance system in place. So time will tell. You know, what we hope to see from the agency is a more action-oriented agency, an agency that makes decisions in a timely manner so that industry can innovate, grow, and thrive. And that also allows consumers, you know, access to affordable, nutritious, and safe foods.
Well, and I suppose before we get to what is next in terms of what is left to do there, I will just ask you, as an external stakeholder, how have you felt FDA's outreach has been to folks outside of the agency throughout this process?
Again, pleasantly surprised. They have engaged stakeholders robustly throughout the process. You know, they did convene an expert panel that interviewed probably thousands of different stakeholders from very diverse walks of life, including internal FDA staff themselves. So a lot of stakeholder engagement throughout the process. They did get recommendations for consideration. It's obvious. They did consider some of the key recommendations in the report that was put out under that Reagan-Udall effort. We're hopeful that this doesn't change. We've also really appreciated the routine updates and progress reports the agency has given as it has moved through the redesign process. So I think, again, kudos for stakeholder engagement and transparency. We're hopeful that this becomes the new norm for the human foods program at FDA as opposed to the exception.
Very good. Well, Sarah, shifting the conversation over to you then, because obviously a lot of folks at Consumer Brands Association very interested in what is going on with an FDA reorganization. And I guess with that in mind, given the way that you've been studying this process, you know, Roberta talked a little bit about, you know, some things are going to have to come next. What are you going to be watching as this reorganization process continues to unfold?
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And just to echo what Roberta said, we too share that optimism about the opportunity that's ahead for new Deputy Commissioner Jim Jones, as well as the whole FDA Human Foods Program team, as they look at what the what's ahead and the opportunity that really lies in this once in a generation shift in how we think about the core missions of FDA. So I think when we get through these different milestones that Jim will have to lead them through, certainly going through things like OMB and then a congressional review period, we're really looking forward to the structure and governance being in place so that FDA has the right framework to then shift their attention to some of those key policy priorities.
We'll have more from this week's panel right after this.
Farmers are always there for each other. We shed tears together. We celebrate together. But we also grow together. Farm Bureau is the largest general farm organization in the country. We have the farmers' back. If you're a farmer and you're not a member, we would welcome you into our Farm Bureau family. And if you want to know more about agriculture, come be part of this great family.
Looking closer, seeing further. That's how we do it. At Curious Plot, we're driven to find what's next for agriculture, animal care, and food. We stay curious because that's what it takes to grow understanding. That's how we plot strategies and tell stories that get results time after time. Marketing, communications, and consulting that look closer and see further. Curious Plot. We can't wait to help you tell your story.
Welcome back. Sarah Gallo with the Consumer Brands Association says the ongoing FDA reorganization effort is of critical importance to a wide variety of stakeholders.
If you go back, kind of going back in time, hard to believe it's been over a year, nearly a year and a half, we were really focused on the opportunity to unite the human foods program so that there was a central mission. And whether you were sitting in the policy shop at FDA or whether you were part of the inspection force, that you understood what FDA's objectives were and how you could help accomplish those. So I think that unified agenda with a unified leader where everybody's rowing in the same direction is critical, because that's what's going to allow us to get at food safety issues in a more timely fashion, allow innovation to meet consumer demand, and allow our member companies to innovate and put new products in the marketplace that consumers are asking for. And again, to send that signal that we do have a safe food supply and that FDA is very focused on that. So for us moving forward, in addition to kind of helping them through those different milestones, we want to make sure that at the end, that unified agenda with a unified, empowered leader that can really speak to the importance of the Human Foods Program is accomplished.
Mm-hmm. So we've talked a lot about the positive and what's possible here, but I guess if you'll join me in a state of pessimism for a moment, what is perhaps the biggest concern that you might have as this process unfolds?
Certainly, we have to be aware of where we could hit some hurdles. And I would say one is just on the sheer timing. I think, we have a period of time ahead of us. As Roberta referenced, FDA has been great at being aggressive on a timeline. So that is one thing that I'll be watching very carefully, is that we're not getting caught up so that the whole Human Foods Program reorg does not come to a halt or doesn't get caught up in any of the procedural steps that it needs to take.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Roberta, wrapping up with you here as well, and maybe stepping aside from the reorganization standpoint for a moment, obviously the issue of feed additives is a very critical one for the dairy industry, for American agriculture writ large. I wonder, with so much attention being paid on the reorganization structure, what level of attention and action is IDFA expecting on the feed additive front here in 2024?
FDA has made it very clear that just because it's in the middle of a human foods program redesign and reorganization, that work continues in all other priority areas there. So feed additives certainly are a priority area there, and we expect to see action out of the agency on that particular topic. I think it's important to note that Jim Jones has set up governance for the Human Foods Program, and he has included the center director for the Center of Veterinary Medicine, in that governance structure. And so they will be at the table as the Human Foods Program redesign, plays out, and in involved in decision making relative to the Human Foods Program, because there is a lot of overlap between what's done at the Center of Vet Medicine and Center for Food Safety. So where there is overlap, they will be making decisions together.
Very good. Well, the food safety focus at the FDA looks very different today than it did perhaps a year ago at this time. What will it look like a year from now at this time? That remains to be seen. But Sarah and Roberta, we appreciate you joining us. We'll be right back with more AgriPulse Newsmakers. But first, our Hannah Pegel introduces us to a new House Ag member in this week's Meet the Lawmaker.
Congressman Jonathan Jackson represents Illinois' 1st District. As the representative of an area that includes the heart of Chicago, Congressman Jackson has seen how food deserts impact his constituents.
It's not a desert as in an area that cannot grow food or has not had any inhabitants to live there. The grocery stores were there, now they're gone. That's a matter of policy. We have to make sure we create an economic model that is affordable, financeable, be it through urban co-ops, that how can we make sure there's sustainable food.
Congressman Jackson's parents are civil rights leaders Reverend Jesse and Jacqueline Jackson, who have influenced him to run for political office and continue fighting for civil rights. Using his seat on the Ag Committee, Congressman Jackson recently released a new bill that would address issues facing minority and underserved producers seeking USDA loans. You can watch his full Meet the Lawmaker interview on AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Hannah Pagel.
It's not as simple just to wake up one day and go, I want to be a conservation farmer. You're changing how your farming practice is done. You're changing your operation.
Farm Credit supported John and Kelly Watley as they shifted to more sustainable farming, improving the environment where they farm and live. Learn more at farmcredit.com/climate.
The Senate and House Ag Committees are busy working on the next Farm Bill, which will cover commodities, specialty crops, livestock, and more. This legislation will impact every farmer, rancher, and rural business for the next 5 years. Make sure you don't miss insights and analytics that only AgriPulse and its top-notch team of well-connected experts can provide. Register today for a free trial at agripulse.com and click the subscribe button, or email us at pam@agri-pulse.com. You don't want to miss this Farm Bill coverage.
Thanks again for tuning in for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Before we let you go, here's what's on the horizon for the upcoming week. USDA will release its monthly agricultural prices report Friday, and next week's Newsmakers will be a special year-in-review episode. Join us for a look at news critical to farm policy and what lawmakers and other important government officials had to say on the show throughout the year. From all of us at AgriPulse, we hope you have a healthy, happy, and safe holiday season with friends and family. For AgriPulse Newsmakers, I'm Spencer Chase. Have a good one. Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. For more ag policy news, visit agripulse.com. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more.